It's Joseph Podcast Live Edition. I'm your host, C.S. Joseph. Tonight's question is, how can INFJs stop outsourcing their beliefs and adopting the belief systems of other people, which is a very relevant question. Extremely relevant. Even ISFJs have this problem because it all stems from extroverted thinking trickster. Good old extroverted thinking trickster. The thing that causes IFJs to basically be gaslit around, as a result of being around anyone. But INFJs, given that they are the most external of the types, second to ESTPs, because ESTPs are far more external, and their cognitive origin of intimacy, also known as connection, also known as bonds, they desire so much to bond with other people, even to the point of like becoming one with them, that oftentimes they adopt the belief systems of the people around them in their life, which can be problematic. Very problematic for them because they can be so easily led astray. From the ISFJ perspective, they have the cognitive origin of satisfaction, but they have the aspirational pole of fanaticism, and their fanaticism can cause them to become fanatics, basically, of belief systems. And ISFJs end up taking on the habits of those belief systems, and then because they take on those habits, they keep those habits indefinitely. At least the INFJ has the opportunity to cut some people out of their life, which is what we talk about consistently in the Season 7 episode for INFJs, which is titled, What is the Virtue and Vice of INFJs? Very thankful that my content, 90-95% of it, that we present on YouTube and on the podcast is known as evergreen, which means it doesn't decay, it's still very relevant, and it keeps its relevancy. That's why I oftentimes talk about older episodes and refer people to older episodes so they can still gain that knowledge. But within the Virtue and Vice episode of INFJs, I talk about integrity versus corruption. And corruption is basically as a result of extroverted thinking trickster, where they are adopting these belief systems of the people that they are around. ISFJs are the sum of the people they are around, whereas INFJs are the average of the people they are around. But if they, get the losers out of their life, all of a sudden the INFJ can find their identity again and be their own purpose, their own person. The problem is that due to their cognitive origin of intimacy, connection, and bonds, if they lack those bonds, it brings a huge debilitating loneliness. Very debilitating. Which I don't recommend. It's very painful for them. So they have to, every time they try to connect with fellow human beings, they're basically in effect risking corruption, right? But in order for them to maintain their integrity, they have to be willing to cut other people out of their life. Which is a very sad existence. So they're basically walking conflicted consistently, which is pretty normal. Normal for them to do that. I oftentimes feel bad for them and am very aware of their struggle. And I go out of my way, especially since I'm unconscious developed, very close to my own personal soul temple influence upon my shadow, to a point. Well, that cigar is done. I really like how cigars are biodegradable. So it's not littering. I love that about them. It's pretty cool. Let's put something on because it's getting cold right now. Fall has definitely fallen. So. Having a fresh haircut, we get real cold, real quick. So yeah. Idaho represent, you know, one of my favorite coffee joints, Terra Coffee, which is local. It's out here in Coeur d'Alene. So yeah. But yeah, how exactly do INFJs work hard to prevent that corruption? There's actually a really easy strategy to do it. Very easy strategy. And I recommend that they get involved in that strategy. So. Yeah, the beanie is back and it is officially fall. Actually, I kind of did this in wrong order. Let's go a little bit further with it properly here. I'm gonna put down my microphone real quick, 1 second. Give me a moment. Much better. It is getting cold. Winter comes early out here sometimes. It snowed first week of November, like literally November 1st, it snowed last year, so fall is quite short-lived, oftentimes short-lived, so yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sumi, for saying so. So yeah, but what is the strategy that INFJs can follow to prevent themselves from becoming losers? Because if they are surrounded by losers in their life, they become the loser, basically. How do they do that? Well, they have to manage their trickster function properly. If you want to learn how best to actually manage your trickster function outside of the context of, you know, this particular live stream, then I recommend going to egohackingyourfear.com and purchasing the course. And going to the INFJ section, the INFJ lecture that is represented in section 5, and that basically helps you come to understand specifically what how to deal with your trickster function. But this particular live stream, I'm going to be giving just some, you know, basic practical advice. So extroverted thinking, it's like the opinion function, it's the belief function. It's also rationale, taking in data. INFJs have this problem, just like ISFJs, where they will just listen to just about anyone. They'll listen to anyone at any given time, over and over and over. And that can be a problem, a huge problem, over and over and over. So, to deal with that problem, they have to develop certain skills. The thing is, though, is that INFJs, given that they are feeling judging types, they have a tendency to not ask for help because they, as extroverted feeling parents, want to be seen as the helper. They want to be the helper because their purpose in life is to improve fellow human beings. So they're always putting themselves in the position of helper, right? And because of that, because they're in the position of helper, they do not often actually go out of their way to ask for help, which further feeds into the menace that is having extroverted thinking trickster. It also inhibits their ability to actually, manage their trickster properly. So oftentimes they are at risk of being gaslit by other people, other sources, other beliefs, other information that could ultimately be debilitating to themselves and to other people. And it actually can inhibit their ability to fulfill their life purpose, which is to improve fellow human beings, basically, right? Because they're taking in all of this information, which all of this input, they'll take input from basically anybody. And there is good input out there and bad input. And being able to judge input properly requires introverted feeling, because introverted feeling weighs things out. That's how introverted feeling works. But INFJs have introverted feeling critic. So they're very critical towards their own self-worth, right? They're very critical towards their own self-worth. And this can be a problem. It is oftentimes a problem for them, because they want to be the most useful tool in the tool shed. They want to be the most valuable person, especially to their friends or their affiliates or the people that they are closest to. And that can be a serious issue, like a big problem over time. And you gotta be really careful. At least they have to be very careful. But why do they do this? Well, their introverted thinking child, for example, is always all about sharing their thoughts with other people because they want to be a problem solver for other people in their life, this big time problem solver, right? And by being this problem solver, they so desperately want to be listened to. Dismissing an INFJ is one of the biggest ways to hurt them, but they are oftentimes dismissed because their thoughts are based on low quality input. Because the valuable input of the world, right? What is actually valuable as input, right? Input being extroverted thinking. What is valuable extroverted thinking? The thing is that you'd probably think like maybe 99% of the input out there is entirely worthless. It's not valuable at all. And then based on that, it ends up causing a lot of problems over time. But hey, you know, they figure that, you know, they start having this idea in their head. It's like, hey, well, I so desperately want to be listened as an INFJ, but the only way I'm going to be listened to is if, and have a voice, is if I listen to everyone else and give them a voice, which is typical extroverted thinking trickster. Everyone has a voice. Everyone's voice is valuable, right? Because they're so self-deprecating towards themselves with their introverted feeling critic, that they're willing to give every single person that they come into contact with a voice, right? And they really shouldn't. They shouldn't do that. They absolutely should not do that. Because by giving credence or credibility to just about anyone, that's what INFJs do. It's a really bad habit that they have to learn throughout their entire life to control. They will give other people their day in court because they desperately want their day in court with anybody. Because from their perspective, if I can solve other people's problems, they'll be loyal to me, and there's a good chance I'll be able to get my cognitive origin of intimacy and connection with other people, right? So they're constantly trying to connect with others, they're constantly trying to have a bond. But this oftentimes leads to unhealthy attachment, where INFJs find themselves attached to the wrong people. And an attachment is when they're being drained and taken from, but no one's giving back to them, right? And it's because they want to be that helper, they want to be that problem solver. But hey, so that as an INFJ, it's like, oh, I want to be valued by others, so I'm gonna work to solve their problems. But they solve their problems based on faulty input, because extroverted thinking trickster is willing to listen to everyone's input, which they really shouldn't. They shouldn't listen to everyone's input, because 99% of input out there is false. It's bullshit. It's not actually real. So then their thoughts, their logic is based on bullshit, which inhibits their ability to actually be a helper, and it actually inhibits their ability to establish bonds, and they instead have a bunch of unhealthy attachments, which then just completely breaks them down consistently, right? And that's a huge problem. That's a major problem. So how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that as an INFJ? Especially when, you know, you're the helper and you have a hard time asking for help. Well, that's literally the answer to the question. You have to be willing to ask for help, but how? How do you actually ask for help from that point of view, within that perspective? How do you actually do it properly? Well, I actually learned this from Mr. Chris Taylor. Chris Taylor showed me, you know, because he's an ENFP, he is the golden pair to an INFJ. And this is something that he got on me for, because when I was being UDUF, it was almost as if my extroverted thinking was behaving like a trickster. It's like, but really it was behaving like a child, because, you know, ESFP, superego, being superego focused, right? As a UDUF version of an ENTP, oftentimes I would rely on really poor input myself, or actually be a source of poor input for others. So being UDUF, I was potentially making other people worse by things that I was saying, or at least making my own life worse as a result. And it created this big self-fulfilling prophecy. So he basically told me, like, hey man, the people that you are connected to in your life, the people that you have bonds with, that's important. But Chase, you're creating a lot of attachments. You're creating a lot of these relationships where you're just being drained and no one is actually giving back to you, right? And that's very normal. It's very normal for me to do that. And he called me out for that. Don't worry, I call out Chris too, because he was UDUF at that time as well. And both of us just sharpened each other to a point where we finally got to a situation where both of us, with our octagrams mentally, we were pushing each other towards subconscious focus as a result of having these UDUF interactions with one another throughout. But he exposed the secret to me in terms of how I can manage my own extroverted thinking, but it's the same methodology that could be utilized for INFJs as well. And that is literally the following. Ask other people for help. Ask other people for their opinion about the people that you're receiving input from. Because an FI user, especially an FI parent, for example, especially FI parent, is going to accurately be able to weigh out whether or not input from other people is actually valuable. This is why FI parents with ESFPs, shout out to Yuri, our resident ESFP, within the ego hacker community, ENFPs like Mr. Chris Taylor and whatnot, with these FI parents. FI parents are extremely valuable, because FI parents end up becoming the gatekeepers of opinion, of valuable opinions. And it's insanely important. INFJs have to be willing to humble themselves to a point, right? Humble themselves to be willing to ask for help, to be willing to ask people for opinions about what they know, and whether or not what they know is based on bullshit or if it's based on valuable input. Because the FI parents basically represent a filter. And as much as TI parent represents a filter in terms of facts and whatnot, FI parents represent as filters for input, basically, to ensure that the input that they are receiving is actually valuable. I know for a lot of years on this podcast, on YouTube, on the podcast on Spotify, for example, that I've been pretty hard and harsh towards the FI parents of the world. I really have been. But honestly, it was the FI parents of the world that I absolutely needed. I needed them the most, because it helped me, you know, self-regulate the input of, you know, people that I have in my life. But then I realized, well, that was a need that I had. I needed to be willing to humble myself as an extroverted feeler who's also electing himself the position of helper, the role, actually, of helper in people's lives. I need to make sure that I am taking in proper input with my introverted thinking parent, and not being so dismissive of certain kinds of input with my extroverted thinking critic, basically, right? But INFJs don't have the benefit of the critic. The critic, although, can be overly dismissive of various input, which can be a problem. This is one of the things that bothers Jared Vaughn, the INTP, about me, because he's constantly trying to give me extroverted thinking nemesis-based input, especially when it comes to socionics, for example. And I'm, let's be honest, quite dismissive of Mr. Jared Vaughn. But, and for important reasons, let's be straight, you can see more of his posts on our Facebook group, actually. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that INFJs need to realize that oftentimes they have to stop being a helper for a second and get help by asking the FI parents in their life, hey, how do you feel about what I know? Asking other people, how do you feel about what I know? But given that they're introverted sensing demon, they have a hard time remembering these things. So they should actually take the time to write this down, where they're willing to interview other people about their opinion about what they know. It's really, really important that they do this. It's kind of like a self-test. It's like a self-checkup, basically. Because if the INFJ is not going to be asking people their opinion about what they know, then they're just going to walk around thinking that they actually know what it's true by default. And this is known as TI, child God complex. It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely dangerous because then they come off insanely arrogant. They like to think that they actually know the answer or they know the solution, when the reality of the situation is they don't, because what they know is based on bullshit, right? So they need to go to FI parents and ask them to weigh out specifically what it is they actually know, write it down, and actually take a look and see what XYZ FI parent says versus XYZ, what this FI hero says, or what this FI child says, or what this FI inferior says, basically. And having that point of view basically allows them to test what they know, right? They need to be willing to test what they know, because if they don't test what they know, it ends up getting worse and worse and worse for them, and it can actually lead to ignorance. Because the worst thing you want to do is walk around in the world thinking that you actually know something. This is why Socrates, an ENTP, often would say, the only thing I truly know is that I know nothing. And that is ultimately an FI master, FI mastery, instead of FI trickster, principle. It's a principle that guided Socrates' own intellectualism. It guided his TI parent and his use of logic, right? The only thing that I truly know is that I know nothing, right? And that's mega important, very, very important. And this is what INFJs need to develop. They need to develop this habit. It's almost as if they are loyalty checking themselves by exposing what they think to public opinion or the opinion of their affiliates. The problem is that oftentimes, because INFJs are giving too much credence to everyone's voice, they have a hard time filtering out those voices, because some voices should not be listened to. Some voices should be squelched, basically. But they have a hard time doing that because they're so desperate with being listened to and being heard with their TI child that they just are not really aware that they are potentially surrounding themselves, or at least at risk of surrounding themselves, with losers, providing them with really poor input. There's another aspect to it as well. INFJs, if you notice INFJs, and ESTPs do this too, Soul Templars, the INFJs and the ESTPs of the world, if you notice that the people that they have as friends that are their closest affiliates are usually people who are beneath them in some capacity, and they have their closest relationships with the people that are beneath them, the closest relationships, the closest bonds, or the closest connections with people who are beneath them, maybe intellectually beneath them, maybe have lower character, but they're beneath them in some capacity. This allows the ESTP and the INFJ to feel safe in their position with the people in their affiliates, because then they can always feel useful, basically, right? They always have an opportunity to feel useful. And that too can end up being a problem. And this is how the extroverted thinking trickster basically can create confirmation bias, right? because INFJs, they want to be the helper, but oftentimes they cannot help the people who are above them in life, where the higher quality input actually is. And this really inhibits their growth as people. Really inhibits growth. And that can be a major issue. So yeah. Welcome to the show, Mr. Emailed Anthrax. My favorite ESFP bro, other than Yuri. So, these FI parents weigh out these opinions, and they should be the people that you go to, and it's like, okay, yeah, here's what I know. How do you feel about it? Is this actually valuable? Is this actually useful? Is this actually going to improve other people's lives? Is this actually going to give people good reactions? Is this going to inspire loyalty in other people? Is this going to give people a better future, right? Because then you're giving the expert in sensing hero and the expert in intuition hero of the ESFPs and the ENFPs of the world an opportunity to look at those opinions. So Anthrax is still in denial of being an ESFP, but that's okay. I still love him and I still think highly of him regardless. So with all that being said, it's just important. You know, it's really important. And having those things weighed out is absolutely severely important. Where people, you know, just it's like, hey, how do you feel about it? Do you value my thoughts, right? And this, again, it has to be a habit, but it's really hard for INFJs to develop habits because of introverted sensing demon. Very hard. So in doing so, they're able to actually protect themselves because they're utilizing the FI parents to filter out basically the poor or the bad input. But what's really cool about FI parent is that FI parent is responsible with their own self-worth. They are responsible with what they value. They are responsible with their own principles. And by being responsible with their own principles, right, they are naturally good people, naturally. They're naturally good people, or at least they are working hard to be good, or at least be seen as a good person to other people. They naturally try to do this. And that's why when it comes to testing your own ideas, if it can't really stand up to an FI parent, then you're probably not doing really well in your life. And you need to be willing to humble yourself as a TI user and make sure that you're not being arrogant, or you're not at a position where you're ignorant, right? Because the ignorance of TI is basically measured in the following ways. The ignorance of TI is basically, okay, yeah, relying on poor quality input, relying on old input, or relying on preferred input, you know, where you're basically expecting people to tell you what you want to hear, basically. And all TI users have that risk. They all have that risk. And that's a serious problem, right? So every TI user has that risk. Then again, you also have, you know, the ignorance of extroverted thinking, which is, you know, everything can be explained in terms of data. Everyone can be explained in terms of what everyone else thinks. And if people in general don't agree with it, then I'm not going to agree with it either. And because this extroverted thinkers really actually go out of their way to avoid fringe ideas. That's why ESFPs are more likely to accept fringe ideas, because they are pragmatic. And by being pragmatic, they're very independent. ENFPs, however, really struggle with fringe ideas because they're very affiliative, very interdependent. And sometimes they oftentimes rely on the status quo provided by Mind Temple and outsource a lot of their judgment to the status quo, because at least their thinking is safe. Because FI parent types really struggle with being labeled or judged as if they are airheads, basically, which kind of sucks. It kind of sucks for them when that actually happens on a regular basis. So yeah, watch out for that. It's really important. So anyway, the bottom line is, how do INFJs prevent themselves from being, you know, prevent this corruption, stop themselves from adopting other people's belief systems? Well, they kind of can't. They can't do that. So the only way to protect themselves is literally to go to the FI parents of the world and literally ask them, hey, how do you feel about my ideas? Write down what the FI parent says. Go to another FI parent, do the same thing. Go to another one, do the same thing. Go to another one, do the same thing. Write it all down, right? And as a result of that, you know, that could be a thing. It's okay, Anthrax, that's called ISFJ shadow. Because you're a very caring and sympathetic person, right? Part of being unconscious developed. So anyway, the point is that from that point of view, you get to a point where it's like, hey, I have all these people who are telling me how they feel about my ideas. And then you'll perhaps see a pattern. Use your extroverted sensing inferior in its aspirational form. What everyone else is saying about my ideas, maybe I should let go of this idea. Maybe this idea isn't so valuable. And then actually be willing to let go of that idea with your TI child. That way you never have TI child God complex. That way you're not at risk of being ignorant by relying on outdated input, preferred input, or low quality input, basically. Because quality is determined by introverted feeling. It really actually is. It's determined by introverted feeling. And TI users all struggle with this. This is why FI and TE users actually exist. And that's how it can benefit INFJs. So yeah, that's basically how it works in general. So yeah. Anyway, folks, that's it for this episode. Thanks for watching and listening. Like and subscribe. And I'll see you guys in the next stream, which might be in a few minutes or whatever. We'll see. So anyway, see y'all hopefully tonight. Later.